The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I have all these screens to look at, so I'm sorry if I'm looking away from the camera. So today I wanted to talk more about this idea of connection. Of course, connection both to others and to ourselves is an integral part of practice. And yesterday I spoke a little bit about connecting with others and being cognizant, being aware of the influence that others have on us. And today I'd like to talk a little bit about how we influence others. The way that through our connections with others, we might have an impact on them. And one obvious way is with our speech. And for those of you who are familiar with the Eightfold Path or some of the other Buddhist teachings, know that there is a lot of teachings about speech. Because the Buddha recognized how powerful it can be, how influential it can be, whether we affect others directly by the actual words that we use, or maybe it's by the tone or the attitude that we use. And now, even today, I would expand, you know, speech to include things that we write, bumper stickers, tattoos. I don't know, there's probably a whole plethora of media that we use, in which we use language. And for those of you, for many of you, this will be familiar that the Buddha gave some guidelines on speech. I'll mention them here, but I want to expand on them in a particular way. So, one guideline, of course, is to adhere to truthfulness, that is, to refrain from lying. That's the, for those of you who know the five precepts, that's one of the precepts. To refrain from saying that which isn't true. But another guideline for speech is to promote friendliness and harmony and concord. And one of the skillful actions is to refrain from slander. That is to say negative things, harmful things about another person. Another guideline is to speak in a gentle, agreeable manner. That is to refrain from harsh speech. Often this is interpreted as profanity, to not use profanity, or any other language that would be inappropriate, maybe in some contexts. So it's not profanity per se, but what would be perceived as harsh, inappropriate, strong language that is generally deemed unuseful, unhelpful. And of course, to say what is factual and what is timely and what is beneficial. So not only what is true, and not slanderous, but to refrain from frivolous speech. Sometimes that expression is used, that is, in the suttas, in the discourses, there's these long lists of things to refrain from. A lot of it has to do with speculation. It's not about, sometimes there's what we might talk about, I don't know if we would use the word frivolous, but it's more about the weather, or it used to be here in the Bay Area, we always talked about the traffic. And that's just a way of building social cohesion. So that's beneficial. That's not what's being pointed at. But to talk that is not helpful for anyone. But timely and beneficial. These are some qualities of our speech that's really worthwhile spending a little time reflecting on. And so I'd like to quote from a discourse that fleshes this out a little bit about timely and beneficial in a way that you might find a little bit surprising. Maybe I'll say I found it surprising when I first read this, and then I really started to think about it and helped me appreciate the wisdom of the Buddha. So this is I'm quoting a discourse that's attributed to the Buddha, and he says, "A talk is inappropriate when it is addressed to these five types of persons. What five? This is a common way of set up a list of things. And the Buddha continues. A talk on virtuous behavior is inappropriate to one devoid of virtue. A talk on faith is inappropriate to one devoid of faith. A talk on learning is inappropriate to one of little learning. A talk on generosity is inappropriate to a miser. A talk on wisdom is inappropriate for one devoid of wisdom or for the unwise. And then the Buddha continues. And why is a talk on virtuous behavior inappropriate to one devoid of virtue? When a talk on virtuous behavior is being given, a person devoid of virtue loses their temper and becomes irritated, becomes hostile, and becomes stubborn. They display anger, hatred, and bitterness. And why? Because they do not perceive that virtue in themselves and do not obtain the gladness and joy that is based upon it. Therefore, a talk on virtuous behavior is inappropriate to a person devoid of virtue. And then this goes through for all the other four factors there. Wow, this is quite something. So this, what that's being pointed to, is not to try to convince somebody of somebody who, if they are already have one view, one stance, one experience, then don't try to talk to them about the opposite. Because they get angry and they get stubborn and they even get irritated and hostile. When I first read this, I thought to myself, you know, this is true, right? We see this happening. And very often my mind is not changed when somebody's trying to convince me of something. When I've tried to convince others of things, they don't change their mind if I'm trying to really push a point. So then you might ask, well, when do we talk about virtue? Or if we see somebody that's being unvirtuous, we might think that it's beneficial to let them know that this is how they should be behaving. But for me, the way that I'm interpreting this, this is when the timely part of the sutta comes in, the timeliness of speech. Because chances are there isn't a person who's 100% without virtue, just for example. There's times when they are, when they perhaps they're talking to people they care about. Maybe their parents, their mother, for example. And then when we see them doing this type of behavior or talking in such a way that shows some virtue, I'm using virtue as just a broad explanation for that which is wholesome or skillful or helpful and which leads to greater freedom, you're welcome to interpret virtue in a way that is supportive for awakening. So we can talk about virtuous behavior when we see others already engaging in virtuous behavior, when we see them maybe speaking about something that is virtuous. And in that way, it can be beneficial, it can be supportive, and they're less likely to get hostile and stubborn and angry. So, of course, this requires that if we want to connect with others in a way that is supportive both for them and for us, so that we don't get into an argument with bad feelings being generated, this requires that we be sensitive to the context. And is this person in a place, in a setting, in a mind state in which they can hear what we are saying? And in my view, we could expand this list. The Buddha lists these five things: virtuous behavior, faith, learning, generosity, and wisdom. But I think that we can expand this to include a sensitivity to the topics that we're speaking to others. If we want to connect to others, as opposed to lecture or try to convince them, change their minds, we can connect to ourselves and see, is this wish to speak, is this the best time? Is this going to be helpful? Is this person able to hear it? Are they able to learn from it? Are they open to it? And when we think about stories of the Buddha, things that he did, we don't see him going around trying to change everybody's mind. Instead, he was inspiring. He was an exemplar. And people came to him. He had a good reputation, and people came to him with questions. He didn't actively go out knocking on doors, so to speak, trying to convert everybody. He had this recognition that when we try to talk to people about a topic in which they don't necessarily subscribe or have experience with, and they seem closed off and are not able to relax and be open to it, they do lose their temper, become irritated, hostile, and stubborn, display anger, hatred, and bitterness. And this last part of the discourse says, why? Because they do not perceive that quality in themselves, and they don't have experience with the gladness and joy that is based upon it. They don't know that having virtuous behavior, learning in this case usually points to learning about the Dharma, things about cause and effect, or maybe I could just leave it broadly like that. They haven't experienced the good sensations, the good experiences that arise when we are filled with virtue and generosity and wisdom and faith. Faith we can interpret as confidence that having seen that this path, this practice has some benefits, that we have some confidence that it's worthwhile to continue. So for today, what would it be like to give special attention to whether our speech, whether it's to others or to ourselves, is it timely? Is it the right time to say these things? And is it beneficial? Is it supportive? Is it helpful? And this requires being sensitive to the context, being connected to what's happening here, both with what's happening for ourselves and what's happening with others. And this might require some restraint. This might require that we have to hold back. And even though we feel like we want to say something, we might realize this probably isn't the best time. This might not be helpful. And then notice how you feel, speaking in these ways with a sensitivity to timeliness and beneficial. Notice how your day unfolds. Notice how your relationships respond and the way that we connect to others in such a way that we support others. And we are sensitive, we're connected to the context, the setting. And this way, we can be part of this big movement towards making the world a better place. And this way we can be supporting not only ourselves, but others, and making a difference in their lives, making a difference in our life, knowing that we're doing the best we can to be of help, to be of support, to be of service, to be of benefit to ourselves and others, so that our practice can be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. Thank you.